Hello, this is Chuck Solomon, and welcome to the Candidate Experience Podcast, where we focus on the job candidate journey from apply to onboard and the space in between. Let's get started. You care about the candidate experience. But have you ever wondered exactly how to bring your company to that next level and offer a world-class experience to your candidates? It's not easy. Fortunately, Candidate.fyi can help. Their solution guides candidates through your hiring journey, enhancing transparency and communication at every touch point. You'll also gain valuable insights on what's working and what's not with your hiring process. Best of all, it integrates directly with your ATS. Head on over to candidate.fyi and see how to transform your company's candidate experience today. Welcome to the We've Come a Long Way episode, where Todd Raphael, head of content at Eightfold, is my special guest. Todd has a rich career in the talent space and shares his insights on the topics we cover during our interview, including candidate experience, diversity, remote work, and more. If you like what you're hearing on this podcast, please subscribe and do share with others. Want to comment, discuss, provide feedback? You can send me a note via LinkedIn or via the contact form on our site, www.thecx.xyz. I thank you for listening, and here's my interview. Hi, Todd. How are you this morning?
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Please let my listeners know a little bit about the company you work for and what you do for them.
Sure. Eightfold is a full life cycle platform. So it takes artificial intelligence and embeds it, power the whole life cycle of an employee, all the way from before they're an employee, career site, through screening, interviewing, but all the way through succession planning, internal mobility, and retention. So really a full platform that gives companies intelligence. And I'm on the marketing team over at Eightfold. I've been here about nine, 10 months.
Gotcha. I've known you for a couple of years, mostly from during your time at ERE as the editor there, and you've covered a couple of organizations that I work for, and certainly have a sort of pulse on the hiring and talent acquisition community. Can you give a little bit about your sort of backstory, how you sort of got into your career?
Sure. Yeah, I spent a couple years, a few years in the political world in Washington, D.C., and then came out to California working on a political campaign in 1997. Then I've spent, 20, almost a quarter century, two different B2B media companies that cover this world of employment and human resources.
Sure.
An HR generalist publishing company called Workforce, workforce.com, where I built a lot of the website. Presence there, and then a more talent acquisition centric one called ERE, which you mentioned, which is more recruiting centric, but puts on conferences for the talent acquisition field.
Yeah, so you've gotten a good firsthand view of the whole hiring process and the good, the bad, the ugly. What flaws do you see in the current candidate experience currently?
Well, I think it's come a long way, particularly just the idea of giving people notice of where they are if they didn't get a job is a lot better than it was.
Sure.
Career websites, of course, are a ton better than they were. A lot of money and energy and everything has gone into making them look good and feature videos and photos and value propositions about why to work why you should work somewhere, all that. So it's certainly come a long way in a decade and a half. A couple of things, though. One is they tend to have a very one-size-fits-all approach. So you go to a career site and you may not actually see something that applies to you specifically. They're not really tailored like the way an Amazon or something would be. And then another, a lot of those sites, as you know, tend to break down when you go search for a job. Like you'll have this amazing career site and then you go search. And some, first of all, sometimes it starts with some department search. You have to pick a department. You have no idea which department to pick.
Right.
Besides that detail, once you do a search, you often just don't get a job that fits you. And then you set up a job alert, you get a weekly email, but they don't tend to fit you either. So it tends to result in very high drop-off rates and a lot of frustration, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there are flaws, but I think we've come a long way, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, for sure. I guess on the flip side of flaws, I mean, anything in particular, you know, improvements that you've seen in the candidate experience?
Yeah, one thing some of our customers have done, which has been really effective. For example, there's one called Dexcom, which is a San Diego-based it's in the dialysis field. One thing some of our customers at least have done is have job candidates upload a resume to a career site. Could be a biography or a CV or even a LinkedIn profile saved as a PDF. But anyhow, have that loaded up. Or actually, it could be even like a chatbot having a little conversation, and then it pulls in the information from a candidate. And then the candidate, once they load up that resume or that bio, they have technology match their capabilities with the capabilities needed to do a job. So the candidate sees, oh, wow, I'm a strong match for these one or two or three or whatever jobs. And then you really see more transparently how you fit and could fit into roles. And then you're much more likely to apply once you get that confidence that you fit and see where that is.
And I'm assuming that the candidate doesn't have to pick the department or decide what department in that case.
Well, actually, not only, yeah, you're right. But to go beyond that, actually, it's a really great way of seeing jobs in fields that maybe you haven't thought of, where, you know, sure, maybe you have capabilities or the potential to do something, but you haven't done that in the past. So that's actually really effective. You can see, oh, I'm good at, very detailed project management work or accounting or designing or whatever. And those skills can apply to some other job that I'm not doing now, but are in another field, but really take advantage of what I'm good at. Like, you can see that where your potential lies, and that's awesome, a great thing. And again, some of our customers have found that very successful.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. It's end of August 2020. We still have a pandemic, unfortunately, still hanging around here for the foreseeable future. What are you seeing virtual hiring wise, like out there?
You know, it's funny if I kind of rewound to January, February before this all started. I had previously worked for an all remote or distributed company, ERE, for 15 years. And so for whatever reason, a lot of people I knew also worked remotely for all remote companies. And it became very common among, well, certainly ERE, but also like other companies I knew and people I knew, to hire people sight unseen. You never meet them. And that became like very normal and like not a big deal. But to most people who didn't work for distributed companies, who were going to an office every day and commuting, that sounded really weird. Like, you've never met them, you never shook their hand and, you know, looked them in the face. And so it sounded very strange, and that still sounds strange, I think, when this pandemic started. And now, after a few months of it, I think that's become very common to hire people with, you know, some of the hiring freezes going away, to hire people without having met them in person. And it doesn't sound as strange to a lot of folks anymore. And, you know, Eightfold really is pretty agnostic to it. I mean, we help companies with virtual hiring, but we're pretty agnostic toward whether they're met them in person or not. It works either way, but in general, I've noticed that everyone's become just like a lot more comfortable with,
sure.
Hey, I've never met them. Now that's not such a big deal anymore. I don't know if you noticed that sea change or not.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. We're sort of folks are getting used to this. Myself, I've worked for the past, I'm not sure, more than 5 years, close to 10 years, out of a home office. So, so there wasn't much of a change for me. And I know it was a huge change, the whole work from home thing. I think probably the bigger thing, was the fact that, you know, people's kids were home and they couldn't go anywhere. They were sort of on lockdown and stuff. So, and then everyone's at home. So, you know, everyone's crammed together. So there's, I think, a lot of stresses there. I'm actively looking for a new opportunity myself, and everything, you know, all the companies that I've been talking to, you know, everything's is switched to remote, remote interviewing, everything's on Zoom or some different form of video and stuff. But you know, the last position I got, actually they hired me over video as well. So you know, and that was in early 2019. So like it was no big deal then. So
yeah, we did at ERE, we did an extremely informal, just unscientific look at the people we'd hired without ever meeting them in person, and with meeting them in person, seeing what worked out better. And the people we had not met were generally more, you know, worked out better. It wasn't scientific. It's not making the point that you shouldn't meet someone. That's definitely not the point. Only that perhaps it's agnostic.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to, you know, with a lot of the companies where they're, especially a lot of the tech companies in California who basically said, you know, you can work from home permanently or at least mm-hmm. through into, you know, 2020, they're going to have to, you know, there's no opportunity to bring people in to interview. They're just going to do it over video. So I think that's probably a good thing from the pandemic that we've all learned that we can do a lot of the things and we can be more productive. And frankly, it's great to, you know, be able to wear shorts. I couldn't, you know, if I was going into an office, I wouldn't go in with shorts. So,
particularly when it's, you know, 108 in the San Fernando Valley. Yeah,
for sure. So, great. So there seems to be and I think this is a good thing, a greater focus currently on diversity hiring at large, medium, small companies. You know, what are you seeing with regards to diversity hiring?
Well, one thing is that going back to that, I mentioned the resume. Some of our customers are finding it valuable to do the resume upload, candidates uploading their resume, seeing how they fit, and they're getting lower drop-off rates, higher click-to-apply rates. That's actually a diversity issue. I don't know. I'm sure you've read that study. Originally was a study of Hewlett-Packard, and then it was written up in Harvard Business Review and elsewhere that women are much less likely to apply for a job if they don't have all the capabilities listed in the job description, and men are more likely to go, yeah, I'll go for it anyhow.
Right.
And actually, so when you show a candidate, hey, here are the capabilities you have currently, and here's how they fit and which jobs they fit in, people are much more likely to apply for a job and not drop off. All you have to do at that point is just hit click to apply once you've seen how you fit. So that definitely helps address diversity. Also, some of our customers have found it valuable to anonymize information like gender, race, and then send hiring managers anonymized, like people's initials instead of their name, as an example, mm-hmm. of candidates information Just to make sure there's no unconscious bias based on someone's background in any way. Those have been very valuable to some of our customers.
Yeah, I think it's, and I'm actually trying to get some chief diversity officers to interview. I have a couple that have sort of raised their hands, and we haven't scheduled yet, but to sort of get their perspective on things. I know for me, I've actually, in a couple of conversations I've had with companies that I'm pursuing, I've asked sort of, some of these were closer to the unfortunate death of George Floyd, but I asked the question of like, what is the company stance on this? Have they made a public statement? And, some of them have said, we haven't made a public statement. We've made internal statements. We're trying to figure out what to do about this sort of thing. And then there's been some that there's been silence, and silence, I guess, says something. So you have to say something.
You saying trying to figure out what to do also makes me think of another thing that I've seen some of our customers do really well, which are analytics. A lot of companies are looking at their population and saying, maybe we have a diversity problem. Maybe our homogeneity is not right, or maybe there's an inequity, but we don't know where it is. And if you look at if companies have the right analytics to see where in the process people are falling out, like are people with disabilities falling out at the top of the funnel, or the on-site interview, if there is one, or the virtual interview and so on. So if you can kind of see where you have like a large drop off between the number of people who were in the process at one point and the number of people who are in the process after that of whatever diversity category it may be, gender, and so on, that's something that can be very valuable also.
Sure. I know for when I have my job seeker hat on and I'm looking at companies, I look at the imagery. A lot of companies, especially smaller companies, have like their board and their leadership team on their websites. And I'm a person that looks at that stuff. Maybe I'm weird that way. I don't know. But I imagine other people look at that stuff too. And if it's, a bunch of white men, I sort of start to question that. Like, what kind of, company is this? How open are they to sort of diversity on all sorts of levels? And my advice to those companies is to remove that page and start working on your diversity. So then you can put up a page that has all your leadership that sort of represents what our greater society looks like. But
I would say just to add to that is if there is a way you can tailor your information, whether it's your website or even your communications, to the candidate, that can be really valuable. So for example, let's say you're a veteran. A veteran might be super, super interested in what the company is doing with veterans topics. Are they, participating in the organization Operation Gratitude? Or there's an event called Carry the Load, which is I think in May. So is the company doing something like that, like volunteering with Carry the Load? So if you have those kinds of things and you're a veteran, that can be very, very powerful to demonstrate either on the career side or in communications like monthly emails to candidates in your pipeline. So not just, diversity as a whole, but can you tailor make your information to whether it's veterans or women or IT candidates and whatnot? That could be very effective.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you touch on, it's marketing really, and what companies are doing, especially for people that haven't hit the apply button, is market to them. And the more you know about the candidates and what what you offer, and the more alignment that you can have, and realize that it's not a one size fits all for everyone. People are interested in different things. The more you can diversify on your marketing, you know, the better the results that you'll get. I'm just reminded of some of the companies that, you know, they still send this auto email saying, you know, I applied for a job, you know, months ago, and they send these auto emails for jobs that I'm not even remotely qualified for. So I'm like, how does that work? Like, you know, I didn't sign up for that. I applied for a marketing type role. You're sending me jobs as a data scientist. So, so awesome. Do you have any tips that you could offer HR leaders on what they could do to improve their company's candidate experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think being specific would be good. That sounds kind of like not so novel advice, but when you look at a lot of, whether it's just a website, a career site, whether it's even other advertisements like on Glassdoor, job ads on job boards and everywhere else on emails, you don't really get, I have trouble getting a sense of what it's like to work there. I see a lot of generalities, like we are giving people great experiences and we're flexible and just things like that. And it, I have very little sense of what is a day like there. Even when I look at the videos, I hear employees talking about how wonderful it is to work there, and that's good. But sometimes I kind of wonder, like, what's it like? Is it competitive? Is it collaborative? What's like the atmosphere like? Even if it's a virtual atmosphere, there's still an atmosphere. I just have trouble getting the sense of specifics and details about the kind of places they are to work at. So if companies could be more specific and detailed, that's great. If you can give people a sense of who they'd be working with, that would be great. Maybe, and this is more controversial, you can maybe give them a way to contact people they'd be working with. That could be cool. I know that risks the recruiter or the manager being bombarded, but nonetheless, that is something a few companies have done, is give people the chance to contact people who they'd be working with. But the minimum, at least, show some of the people you'd be working with. And that kind of gets to some of the tailored stuff that we were talking about, like who similar to you veteran or whatever you are, might you be working with, who has some of the same background as you. That kind of stuff would be really valuable, I think. And again, if you can show more people how they fit into jobs at a company, that would be very valuable, and definitely increase the rates of application.
Good stuff there. Todd, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how could they do so?
The easiest way would be to find me on LinkedIn. And my name is, it's T-O-D-D and then R-A-P-H-A-E-L. You can hunt me down on LinkedIn. Shoot me a note there. It would probably be the easiest way, rather than me rattle off email addresses here. But and then we can get in touch.
Excellent. And is your company hiring?
Yeah, that's a good question. We are hiring indeed. Yeah, we're growing, and you know, we're in a fortunate situation where when this all hit, the recession and everything, Eightfold is fortunate, like the full life cycle. So not just on the front end of the talent acquisition, but we're equally involved in things like succession planning and internal mobility. We've actually helped some of our customers, for example, even with redeployment, so avoiding layoffs. How can you take hundreds of people who would have been laid off and use technology to find how their capabilities can match jobs that are open internally, rather than them being laid off? Can they do something else at the company that maybe you hadn't thought of and they hadn't thought of? So we've been doing that. So that kind of stuff, the talent management part, as well as the hiring, those two things combined have helped us in a situation like this, since we're not just TA centric. So yeah, we're hiring both in the US as well as overseas.
Great. Todd, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Candidate Experience Podcast. You can reach out to us via our website, thecx.xyz. That's thecx.xyz.